The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Moshe Hillel Kaufman.
Baruch haba, we're doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kuf Pei Gimel, Hilchas Nizkei Mamoin. Sifrim Aleph to Zion. Sif Aleph. Also, lahazik momen chaveri, we're not allowed to damage the property of our friend, the money of our friend. Afilo adas l'shalom, even if we intend on repaying him for the damage. Kamaisha also lignoi v'ligzol adas l'shalom. Just like it's also to steal, even though you intend to pay it back, so too, you can't damage, even if you plan to reimburse the individual for the damage that you caused. And actually, it's even also to cause damage, even if there isn't a cost to repair the damage. Just damaging is itself also. So, for example, let's say you have a sign that you want to hang up, and there's a yid down the block whose fence is right on the corner, which would be a great place. So you want to hang up the sign there. And even though that it's no big deal for the guy to take it down and throw it out if he doesn't like it, the owner could just rip it off, still that would be also because you're damaging his fence. You're making it look unsightly, and he doesn't like that. Even though he could just rip it down himself, it would still be awesome for you to put it on. Of course, without his permission. V'afilu ligroim nezek l'chaveru, even to indirectly cause damage to your friend, bein b'maisa bein b'dibber, whether verbally or whether by doing some physical action, asa, that's still asa. Kegain, for example, Ruvain shemoyche eschoyer l'akum, Ruvain is selling some merchandise to a nachri, and now Shimon decides to go to the Nachri and tell him that he's overpaying for that merchandise. It's not worth that much. Even if indeed that might be true, usser. It's usser for Shimon to do that. Because the Din of the Machusa says that one can sell for whatever price he wants to the other individual. And so therefore there was nothing wrong with what the Reuven was doing. So Shimon should not be getting involved. He's causing a loss to Reuven. V'chol agoyim nezek chaveri, whoever indirectly causes damage to his friend, afilu b'inyan shepata b'dinei adam, even in a situation where, if based in dinei adam, we'll not be able to take the money out of him, we'll not be able to paskin that Reuven has to give Shimon, Shimon has to give Reuven money, chayev b'dinei shemayim, nevertheless, in dinei shemayim, be chayev ad sheyefaises chaveri, until he can appease his friend. Even though grumma, which is a zikin, which is more indirect, is oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes we say that based on would not require the person to pay for damages that were done on a grumma fashion. However, medini shamayim, a person oftentimes is chayev for damage that is caused by grumma, that's an indirect type of damage. And even though, again, based on would not be allowed to passing the yes to give the money now, but Medina Shemai means that you really have a chiyuv to give it. It's not like a midas chasidus. It's something that is a requirement, and you don't want to go up to Shemayim without having that taken care of. A common call which we usually get is when people are in a tight parking spot in a parking lot by a yeshiva or by a shul, and they pull out, and they make a little dent in the car in front of them or on the side of them, and they didn't mean to, they didn't want it to happen, they didn't have any intention for it to happen, but bottom line, they caused damage to another person's merchandise, to another person's car, so that's something where they have to take care of that, so they could leave a little note for the person and deal with it later. Just as an aside, in many states, they have a minimum threshold balance for damage that which the insurance companies can then raise the person's rates for and hold his rating against them. But as long as the damage is below that minimum, so many states have laws which don't allow the insurance companies to raise the rates or take any other adverse action against the individual. So in New York, for example, that amount currently is $2,000. So most fender benders can, or even small accidents, can usually be amicably solved for the insurance company to pay, and if the damage is less than $2,000, it won't even cause any harm to the person who was the one in the wrong because the insurance company will not hold it against them or change his rates or rating for it. Of course, check with your insurance broker, but they don't like to tell you that at the insurance car companies, but that's the law in many states, especially in New York. Sif Beis. I feel a Misha Ba Eze Nezik Alav, even someone who's some damage already befell him. Also Lasalkum Yalav, he's not allowed to take it off from himself. Because he removes it from himself, that damage will now befall another yid. Even by indirectly causing damage to your friend. So let's say you're at a chasana and you're ready to go home and it's raining outside, and you go to the coat room to get your umbrella, and you see one of the nachmi waiters taking your umbrella to go outside with. So you can't say, hey, why are you taking this umbrella? Go take the other umbrella, it's bigger, it's better, and leave this one behind. So even though you're trying to save your umbrella, but you're doing so by causing indirectly damage to another person's umbrella, so that would be awesome. But before the damage has reached you, you're allowed to push off that damage so that it should not arrive on you. Even though, because of that, it'll end up befalling on your friend. For example, there's a stream of water that's coming to flood your field. If the water has not reached your field yet, you see it coming. You're allowed to put a fence or some other blockage in front of your field. Even though now the water will be diverted and go onto your friend's field and ruin his field. That's okay because you're blocking the damage from coming to you. But once the water already reached your field, and now your field is flooded, you're not allowed to pump it out the water onto your friend's field. Because once the nezik, once the damage already is upon you, not allowed to take it off of yourself, and put the damage on your friend. So, let's say a more common case in our days would be if a person lives on a block that's on a hill and the water, whenever it rains, goes into his basement and he calls the contractor. The contractor says, yeah, you have a crack in your foundation, so all the water that's traveling down the block is emptying out into your basement. So, you know, what I'll do is I'll just cork up that crack with some corking, and now the water will just continue down the block, and whoever down the block is the next person to have a crack, they're the one who's going to receive the water into their basement. So that would be mutter to do when it's not raining, because you're blocking the damage from coming into your basement. You're not causing it to go into somebody else's, even though because yours is blocked, it will eventually go into somebody else's. And of course, if you know it'll do that, you should warn the neighbors down the block that they should also fix their cracks. Sif Gimel. V'chein Chayel HaMelech Shabo Le'ir, if the king's army came to town, uv'nei ha'ir mechuyavim liten lehem achsanya, and in those days, the rule was that the populace who lived there, they had to give housing for the king's soldiers. Everyone had to give up a certain amount of rooms. Also le'echad liten tzcha l'sah ha'chayel l'fatrei. One person in the town can't give the officer of the army some money in order to make it that he doesn't have to give up any of his room in his house. Why? Because if the town is all full of yidden and they need a certain amount of beds, so now by you paying this the head of the army, they're not, and by for not having your house to be used, that means somebody else's house is going to have to be used additionally. So you're causing damage to another yid. Even it's meaning the damage always considered is happening in this case. The army is here. So now already there's already that gazera that the town has to supply a certain amount of beds. So now to now release yourself from that requirement by paying something to the head soldier, that would be awesome. Same thing when it comes to other taxes. Also lishtadlites are salapatri, not allowed to go to the official and have him release you from any obligation. Because of that, they'll make their tax burden heavy on others. And in those times, they would tax a town for X dollars, and then the townspeople would have to divide up, or they would divide up amongst the townspeople how they would all share in that burden of whatever was the required tax amount for that village. So if you get released, the village tax total still has to be the same. They're going to get it from someone else. So therefore, if Isa came, someone who does that, Nikwe Maisa, he's called a Maisa. Now, in our days, obviously, it doesn't work like that. The government has certain tax rules, but if you can release yourself from that tax rule because you found a loophole or something else, so that would be allowed, and you're not causing damage to somebody else because there's not a fixed amount that they're taking, and therefore, for this year, if you're short, they're going to take it from somebody else because they need X dollars from that city or that village. That's not the case anymore, so that wouldn't be an issue. There are, of course, a few exceptions. There was one Maisa here where they used to have one big house, and a developer bought it, knocked it down, and built four houses. So let's say the first house had an address called 2 Beach 9th Street. And what happened was that the office that gives out the garbage tickets, they never got noticed that instead of 2 Beach 9th Street, there's now a 2 Beach 9th Street, a 4 Beach 9th Street, a 6 Beach 9th Street, and an 8 Beach 9th Street. They made four houses on that lot instead of one. Now, what happened was a lot of people were away in the country during the summer, and their lawn got dirty because people threw, wrappers and stuff. And when the sanitation department gave out tickets, they put tickets on all the dirty houses, 2 Beach 9th, 4 Beach 9th, 6 Beach 9th, and 8 Beach 9th. But when the tickets came to the sanitation department, all they knew about was 2 Beach 9th. So 2 Beach 9th Street was getting tickets for four houses. And so he wanted to call up the sanitation department and say, hey, there's a mistake here. I got billed for hundreds of dollars of tickets, but it was really meant for the other addresses. Your system only registers 2 Beach 9th. So this whole area they gave me for those four houses, they looked at it as if it was just 2 Beach 9th Street. But really, there are other houses on there. The answer was he can't do that because the nezik fell upon him. He got the damage. And now to call up the sanitation department and have them issue the tickets to the other people who were not at fault in this case, so that would be Masira, that would be Asa. Of course, each case has its own unique circumstances, and a person should speak to Rav Kampen and Chesh Mishpat before deciding what to do. Actually, indeed, on that case, they wanted to all agreed that they can get they would redo the information at the sanitation department and now break it up for the future that it should be separate houses and notify the sanitation department that indeed they should correct their system, that it's not just a 2 Beach 9th Street, but there's also 4, 6, and 8. That solved the problem. Of course, number 2 Beach 9th Street wanted the other people to pitch in, but the halacha was they don't have to pitch in. They're happy the way things are. It's really the expense of 2 Beach 9th Street in order to pay the legal fees in order to get that corrected. Sifhei. Also, likanes l'soich sadeh near shechaver. You're not allowed to walk into the field that was plowed that belongs to your friend. Why? Because you're stepping on his freshly plowed field and you're ruining the work of the plowing. Sivav. Also, lamaid al sadeh chaver l'stakel bo b'shoshi omes b'kamisel. You're not allowed to stand and gaze at your friend's field when it's full of its ripe wheat, when the produce. Shalai azikena b'ayin hara, because you shouldn't cause harm with an ayin hara. When a person looks at his friend's field all full with the crops, he's going to feel jealous. He's gonna feel perhaps that wow, that other person is so lucky. That might cause an ayin hara. Mikol shekein, and certainly sha'asa l'stakel b'chaveroi b'inyan sheish lochus she'azikoi b'ayin hara. Certainly, he can't look at his friend in any way that might cause an ayin hara. But I feel be'iskav, even in his business, uva ma'isav, or the things that he's doing, she'ein b'hem chashash hezek ayin hara, that don't have don't have to be afraid that he might give an ayin hara. Im oise b'veso b'shusa, if someone's doing something in his private house, asa liroi shlemidati, not allowed to look without his permission. So if someone has the the window open, or he has the blinds open, or the door open, a person's not allowed to, who's walking by, is not allowed to look in, even as he's passing by, is not allowed to look in, because that invades on the privacy. Because maybe he doesn't want other people to know what he's doing inside. The Derech Eretz who, and Derech Eretz is, when someone sees his friend in the middle of doing his work, he should give him a bracha. He should say to him, you should succeed in your work. Talking about Ayin Hara, they say a story where in Bnei Brak there was a Yid that wanted to get a brand new car, but his wife didn't want him because she was afraid there'd be Ayin Hara. People would see a brand new car, they'd get jealous, and it would bring Ayin Hara upon the family. So they decided to have the dispute settled by the stipler. They'll go to the stipler. Whatever he says to do, that's what they'll do. So the stipler said, when they asked him, you know, when they told him the situation, he asked the husband, how many times did you finish Shas? And the husband said, I didn't finish Shas at all. So the husband said, so the stipler said, you don't have to worry. You can get the car because no one in Bnei Brak is going to have Ayin Hara on you. If you're not Ma'aretz, no one's going to be jealous that you have a car. They're jealous to be a Talmud Chacham. Sif Zayin. Afilu lasais b'shus shaloi davashu mazik l'shcheinai. Even to do something on your own property, but it'll damage your neighbor's property, also, it's not allowed. Shouldn't leave next to the wall of your friend's house anything that has heat to it and gives out some type of moisture heat, and will damage the wall, like manure, similarly. Elim Cain and Less, Hecha Gimel Tvachim, he distanced it by three Tvachim, in which case that won't cause damage. The Chain Tzach Lahachik Shalai Lishbach Mayim Samach Lekaisa Chaveh. A person should also be careful not to throw his water out next to the wall of his friend, because that would weaken the foundation of the wall and could cause damage. Lachain, therefore, Tzinor HaMakalech Menagag, a pipe or a gutter that water comes off from the roof when it rains. That's where it's diverted by that gutter. You have to distance that gutter where the water comes out. You have to distance that from your friend's wall by at least 3 tefachim, so that it won't get damaged. Mikol shekein, and certainly, not to throw the contents of a bedpan next to the wall of your friend, because that certainly will weaken it. And to urinate next to the wall of your friend, if it's a stone wall, or it's wood but without a cement on it, then one tefach is the engineering amount that should be distanced, to get the, make sure that the wall does not get damaged. And if the stone is of a smooth stone, that's what the wall is made out of, then you don't need to distance at all. Even if the urine is on the wall itself. But if it's a brick wall, or a wooden wall that has a cover of cement, then you have to distance yourself to eat tefachim. Of course, the bottom rule is that anything that would damage somebody else's property, you have to distance the proper amount so that there shouldn't be any damage. I think one of the big shalas we get is when you have trees that grow and they damage another person's property. So you have a tree in Reuven's yard, and as it grows, it goes on to Shimon's property and it messes up his gutters or his roof, and it causes problem. Or very times by Sukkot, you get all the calls where Reuven's tree extended and now is hanging over the part where Shimon used to build his sukkah, and now they want it removed. And the question is, well, who's responsible for that? And the Balabatish opinion is, well, it's Reuven's tree, so Reuven has to get rid of it. In Halacha, it's not that way. because the tree was planted a long time ago. When the tree was planted, it didn't cause any damage. And the damage is sort of occurring on its own. The tree kept on growing on its own. It wasn't planted in order to do damage. It was planted to be a tree just more on Reuven's property. But as the years went by, it spread out. And so the halacha is that Reuven is not responsible for the damage that that tree caused. And so therefore, if Shimon wants his sukkah built in a place that's kosher and not blocked by the tree, so Shimon is the one who has to pay to cut down the branches that are hanging over his yard, even though the branches are Reuven's property and the tree emanated from Reuven's side. Or similarly, if the gutters are being blocked or other roof issues, Shimon is the one who has to pay to remove whatever he wishes, even though the tree was originally is Reuven's tree and it was growing on Reuven's property. Once spread over, Shimon has the right to cut off whatever is bothering him, but he's the one who has to pay for it. It's not Reuven's responsibility to pay for that. Kol tov.